Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur three lines from the top of Daf Chof Tes. The Gemara will open with a discussion concerning vessels that one is allowed versus those that are not, those are not allowed to remain in the sukkah. We're talking about primarily eating vessels, plates, pots, pans, dishes, cutlery, etc. So the Gemara, Omar Rava, Moni Mishtia b'metalalosa. Of course, we're talking about these vessels after they have been used. The Tosfos points that out at the top, Mona de Michlo. He says Keoros la'achar she'ochlu b'hen. We're talking about after they were used for eating. So the Gemara is referring to immediately the Moni Mishtia are drinking vessels, for example, cups. After a person finished drinking, the cup can remain b'metalosa in the sukkah. Moni michlo, moni are vessels, michlo of eating, for example, bowls, plates, after one ate from them. So bar metalosa, they are to be taken out of the sukkah. Bar means outside of the metalosa, the sukkah. Rashi explains, moni michlo koros la'achar shoch b'hen, Tzorach lehotzion lebar mitalosa chutz lesukkah. Take them; they must be taken outside of the sukkah. Chatzva veshochil bar mitalosa. Chatzva, Rashi says, is an earthenware pitcher that one uses for drawing water, and shochil is a pail used made of wood, a wooden pail. Those vessels can remain outside the sukkah. Ushroga. Shroga is a candle, but not a wax candle. Rather, it's an earthenware clay receptacle that you fill with oil and a wick. So that is bimetalulosa, can remain in the sukkah. And here it's not a function of after it's been used. We're talking here in the case of the candle while it's burning. So one opinion says bimetalosa, viamilo bar mimetalosa. Another opinion says outside the sukkah. And the Gemara says, velo pligi, in fact, there is no argument. Ha besukkah gedoyla, if it's a large sukkah, so there is no fear of igniting something. Therefore, it remains in the sukkah. Ha besukkah ketana, if you're eating in a small sukkah, an exact minimum size sukkah which measures 7 by 7 hand breadths, so you don't want to have the shruga, the candle, in the sukkah. The issue concerning these vessels, some of these vessels, if they you've already eaten from them and they remain in the sukkah, so Rashi says, on the second narrow line, the cups, for example, can remain in the sukkah. Lefish she'enon me'usim. They're not disgusting. They're not filthy. We continue in the Gemara. Yordu geshamim. The Mishnah mentioned that if it starts raining, so one leaves the sukkah, mishetisrach ha-mikpeh. And we explained in the Mishnah that mikpeh was some type of porridge kind of food, a congealed type of cereal or porridge. Tona, mishetisrach hamikpeh shel grisim. The brisa is more specific than the Mishnah. It says it's a mikpeh of grisim. Grisim is a certain type of vegetation from which you make the porridge. And what's unique about the grisim, Rashi says, it is very sensitive to water. With even a little bit of rain falling into this kind of grisim porridge, it goes bad. So it's not that much rain that needs to fall in order to warrant leaving the sukkah. Abaye have a koyosef kamei d'Rav Yosef b'metal losef. Abaye was sitting in the presence of Rav Yosef in a sukkah. Noshav zika. Zika is wind. Noshav is wind blew. V'kol maisi tzivusa. And some twigs or pine needles fell from the schach into the food. Omar lehu Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says to those standing around him, Ponu li moni mehocha. Remove my vessels from here. I want to leave the sukkah. Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, Ho'anan, v'ho'atnan mishetisra chamikpeh. There's reason for leaving a sukkah if rain falls and ruins the porridge, but we're not dealing here with rain. We're dealing with some, let's say, schach debris falling into the food. Omar Le, Rav Yosef responds, L'didi, kevon de'anino datoi, for me, since I am of a sensitive nature, anino datoi, this means sensitive or finicky, fussy, Kami shetisrach amikba domi li. This is the equivalent. The branch debris falling into my food is the same thing for me as rain affecting their porridge is to other people. Tonu rabbanan hoy oichel besukkah v'yordu gishomim. If someone was eating in the sukkah and rain started to fall, v'yorad and he left the sukkah. Ein matrichen oisoi la'alois. Ad shiigmor sudoso. We don't trouble him to go back to the sukkah until he finishes his meal. After all, he already troubled himself to leave the sukkah to continue his meal somewhere else. So once he's reached that other place, he's told you can finish your meal and then go back to the sukkah, even though the rain stopped beforehand. Hoya yoshein b'sukkah v'yordu gishamim. Person was sleeping in the sukkah, and while he was sleeping, it started to rain. V'yorad, and he left the sukkah. Ein matrichin oisei la'alois ad shi'or. We don't trouble him to go back to the sukkah ad shi'or. This is an expression that we have to define, and we'll do so in the course of the Gemara. But the point is that once a person left the sukkah and went to sleep somewhere else, we don't trouble him to go back to the sukkah, even though the rain already stopped. Ad shi'or ibay alaho. The Gemara asks, ad shi'or o ad she'yor? Does the word mean? Is it really? Is it understood or spelled with an ayin? An ayin would mean yit'orer mishinasa, means to wake up from sleeping. In other words, we don't trouble him to go back to the sukkah until he wakes up on his own, or does Achior mean until it becomes daylight? If we look in Rashi, across from here, Ibailo Achior, Achiale Amuda Shachar, in other words, we won't trouble him to go back to the sukkah until light comes. In other words, if it stopped raining toward the end of the night, but it was still dark out, we still aren't going to wake him up to go back to the sukkah until daylight. Till Yamud HaShachar could maybe refer to as dawn. Oh, Ad She'er, that word means Mishinoso, until he wakes up from his sleep. Ha'im Hekitz, however, if a person got up on his own, Afilu Hoy B'chatzi Alayla, Yoku Mishinos V'yalev Yoshin B'sukkah. If he got up while it was still dark, if you learn the word with an ayin, it would mean that if he wakes up on his own, whenever he wakes up on his own, he goes back to the sukkah, even if it's still in the middle of the night, as long as the rain has stopped falling. So what is the standard by which we evaluate the return to the sukkah? Is it dawn or his waking up? Toshma. So the Gemara answers, it's going to answer with a source, and the source itself, though, is not clear, but with the Gemara's clarification of how to really understand the source, then we'll get our answer. So the Gemara says, Toshma, ad shi'or, v'yale amud ha-shachar. The Gemara asks, Tartin. These are two different times. The word how can the source say until Ad Shi'or and Ad Shi'alamud HaShachar? The word Yo'or implies a type of light level where the whole eastern sky is lit, which is a later time period than the break of dawn, which we would associate with Amud HaShachar. So the source as it is doesn't make sense to say that he goes back to the sukkah when it's Yo'or, which is a later time, and then the Amud HaShachar when it's an earlier time. Elo Amos, so this source has to read Ad Shi'ir V'yale Amud HaShachar. And what does that mean, practically speaking? Rashi explains, Elo, a few lines down from here, Rashi says, Elo, al korchach Shi'ir Kotoni, Yor means to wake up. V'hochi ko'omar, Ad Shi'ir Mish'ale Amud HaShachar. When do we tell him to go back to the sukkah? So there are two elements. First of all, we're talking about someone that wakes up on his own after dawn. Lafuke, to the exclusion of two other cases. Im hekits mishinoso balaylo, if he wakes up in the middle of the night and the rain has stopped falling, ti ein matrichen, we don't require him to go back to the sukkah. Vim olam urashachar velonir, likewise if dawn broke, but he didn't wake up yet, ein mekitzino, so we won't wake him up either. So in order to insist on a person returning to the sukkah after the rain stopped, under these circumstances, he would have to wake up on his own after dawn. The Mishnah made reference to the case of the person sitting in the sukkah and it started to rain, and the person had to leave. So, Moshel Lemaha Dovra Doima, there was an analogy in the Mishnah of an Eved that was filling up a kos or a ketone, a flask for his master, and then it said, and he spilled it on his face. The Mishnah used pronouns. So the Gemara asks, Ibai Eloho, Mi Shofach Lemi, who the rainfall represents the spilling of whom on whom? Toshma, Disanyo, the following Tanaic source explains the analogy of the Mishnah. Shofach loy raboy kiton al ponov, the master, after the servant filled his flask, the master felt some sort of displeasure, and he spilled the kiton, the flask, on the face of the servant. The Omar lo, and the master said, I efshi b'shimushcha. I can't tolerate your service. And the analogy would be to the Kodesh Baruch, who is the master, who is expressing his displeasure with his people, and shows that by bringing the rain on the people trying to observe the mitzvah of sukkah. We have a long Tanaic source. You can see this framed section continues to the top of Omid Beis. And Rashi points out that since we were dealing with what we call Simone Klola, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu shows how upset he is, we continue with another, with a topic that has that point in common. The topic heading on the side, we have Likui, under the word Nose is the topic heading, we have Likui Oirois, Chama and Levona. Now the word Likui Oros is a bit hard to translate. Many would like to translate it simply as an eclipse of the bodies of light, Oros, the heavenly light bodies, specifically the sun and the moon. A solar eclipse versus a lunar eclipse. However, that translation might lead to some difficulty in understanding what the source is going to say in light of certain, we'll say, scientific observations and phenomenon. The whole issue of resolving science with Ma'amore Chazal is a topic that many Sforum and people have dealt with, and it is not a problem for us per se, but by translating it, the term likui or loke, you'll see is in this source as as an eclipse in the simple astronomical fashion, so that will then just create some more work for resolving the Maimer Chazal here with assumed astronomical calculations, etc. But we can avoid committing ourselves to that by simply saying the word Loke means afflicted. And what it means that the sun or moon are afflicted, that is something abstract. And I can assure you that the information in this source itself is something that's of a say quasi-mystical nature. And hence, what we will do here is present the basic, simple translation, leaving all of you who are listening to research this further if you're interested in pursuing the topic. So, once again, the basic thrust of this source has to do with the sun and moon being afflicted, and what all of that represents. The diamonds that you see in the source are explained under the Mivneh. They are Tchilosen Shel Braisos B'Noseh Hanal. This section of Gemara is really characterized by a number of different Tanaic sources. So in Gemara markings, we decided to treat them all as one long, within one large frame, but in truth they are a number of separate Tanaic sources, each one deserving its own frame. But for the sake of, let's say, aesthetics, we used one large frame. Tonu Rabbanon, Bisman Sheha Chamo Loike, Simin Ra'alucholom Kulo. When the sun is afflicted, it's a bad sign for all of the world. Moshe L'mah Dover Doima, the analogy is to the following. L'melech Boser V'dom, a mortal king, Shosu Suda Lavodov, that prepared a meal for his servants. V'niach Panos Lifnam, and he placed a light source, Panos, a lantern, in front of them. Kos Alehem, he then got angry. V'omar La'avdo, and he told one of his servants, Tol Panos Mipnem Hoshivum Ba'Hoshech, remove the lantern and let them sit in darkness. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Zman Shema Oros Lokin. Rabbi Meir teaches that when the sources of heavenly light are afflicted, Simin Ra, and here we have a euphemism, L'Sineim Shel Yisrael. We call this Loshen Sagi Nohar, means it's a bad sign for the Jewish people. Mipnei Shemulu Modim B'Makoseihem. The Jewish people are a people that, through the course of history, are more oppressed and afflicted than any other people. Just as a side note, the Jewish people are the most afflicted people, but the Gemara says elsewhere that that enables them to remain, to endure through the generations. Whereas other nations that aren't afflicted nearly as much as the Jewish people, however, they, when their time comes for leaving the world's stage, they are simply eliminated in one shot. Hence you have many famous world empires that exist in no reality other than on the pages of history. Whether it's the famous Babylonian or Assyrian, Roman, Greek, Persian, Egyptian empires, where are they today? However, the Jewish people, because they are afflicted on an ongoing basis, that actually serves to preserve them. And our belief is that through the constant cleansing of sins, we are always in a relative state of purity, because we're always subjected to oppression and pursuit, causing us to be constantly atoned for. So when there are the heavenly bodies, the light bodies afflicted, it's a bad sign for the Jewish people. The nation Melumadim b'makosem, as we said, because Melumadim, they are accustomed to being hit. Moshol l'soifer shebo l'beis ha-sefer. The analogy is to a teacher that comes into a classroom. Uritsu b'yodo. He's got a strap in his hand. Mi doeg. Of the students in the room, who gets worried when he sees the teacher with the strap? Mi shirogil lukais b'chol yoyim v'yom, hu doeg. So that student that's called the troublemaker, he is the one that starts to get worried. So it's because he is the one that is accustomed to being paddled or whipped. Tonu Rabbanan. Bizman shechama loika simin ra lo'ovdei kechavim. When the sun is afflicted, it's a bad sign for idol worshippers. Levona loka, when the moon is afflicted, simin ra lisonam sheyisrael. Again, this is the euphemism. It's a bad sign for the Jewish people, because the word sonam literally means the enemies of Israel, but we are not referring to them, we're referring to the Jews themselves. Bitnei sheyisrael moinim lelevona lo'ovdei kechavim lechama. The association between the moon and Jewish people versus sun and idol worshippers is because the Jews establish their new months based on lunar sightings. Each time the moon reaches its new phase, a new month is established according to the Jewish calendar. The idol worshippers have a solar based calendar. And hence the afflicting of the sun is a bad sign for the idol worshippers. Loike b'mizrach, if the affliction is when it's shining in the east, simin ra liyoshvei mizrach, it's a bad sign for those who dwell in the east. B'marov, simin ra liyoshvei marov, and if it's afflicted when it's shining from the west, it's a bad sign for people dwelling in the west. Bamsurakia, if it's afflicted while overhead, simin ra l'chola olim kulo, it's a bad sign for the whole world. Ponov doimin l'dam, if the color appears as dam, as blood, cherev bo li'olam, it's a sign that there will be death through the sword, killings coming to the world. L'sak, if it has a gray sack is sackcloth, which is dark in color. So chitzei rov boyin la'olam, it's a sign that famine is coming to the world. Rashi explains that when people are famished, their complexion turns dark, hence the sack sackcloth color associated with the light is a bad sign, a sign of famine. Lazu ulazu, if it has both use to it, so then Cherev v'chitzei rov boyin l'olam, the sign that both afflictions are coming to the world. Loka b'knisaso, if the light affliction takes place at the setting of the sun, puronus shoyalavo, then the problems, the punishment is going to tarry in coming. B'tziyaso, if the affliction, the light affliction, is at sun at the rising of the light, then mimaheres lavo, it's a sign it's going to come rapidly. V'yeshomrim chiluf hadvarman. There's another opinion that says just the opposite, namely that if the affliction, the light affliction, takes place at the setting, so then it's a sign that it's going to tarry, it's going to rapidly come, and the problems, the affliction, the punishment will come rapidly. And if it comes at the rising of the light, it's a sign that it will tarry in coming. V'ein l'cha kol uma v'uma sheloike, there is no situation of a nation that is afflicted, she'ein eloheha loike ima, that its idols that are not afflicted with it. Shenemar, the pasuk says in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's defeating Egypt, it says, "Uvachol Elohei Mitzrayim eseh shvatim," and upon all of the idols of Egypt, I will render my judgment. Uvizman she Yisrael oisin ritzon yeshamakom, ein misyoren mikol elu. And when the Jewish people are keeping the will, following the will of Hashem, so in all of these things we've described till now, the different phenomena associated with the affliction of heavenly light bodies, sources of light, all of this affliction will be of no source of concern, of fear, for the Jewish people who are following the will of Hashem. Shenema, koyamar Hashem, El derech hagoyim al tilmodu, ume oisus hashamayim al techosu, ki yechatu hagoyim mehema. The pasuk is saying that from all the heavenly signs, you do not have to worry. They, the goyim, the idol worshippers, they have to worry. Oyde kichavim yechatu, the idol worshippers must tremble. The ein Yisrael yechatu, but the Jewish people don't have to worry. Once again, that's if they are collectively following the rotzon, the will of Hashem, keeping the Torah and the mitzvos. Tonu Rabbanan, Bishvil Arba Dvorim, you see the double underline appears here, and on the side, we have under our Mivneh heading, Bishvil Arba Dvorim. That's the phrase that will be repeated as the Gemara goes on. These are Rishimois Shel Dvorim, Bekvutzos Shel Arba Shel Divrei Puranas. These are lists of four items that are associated with this unfortunate situation of heavenly punishment. Tonu Rabbanan, Bishvil Arba Dvorim Chama Loike. There are four reasons that the son is afflicted. Alaf Basin Shemeis Veinu Nispad Kalocha, in the event that the a major Torah scholar, as is the case if he's an Av Basin, he's the head of the court, dies and isn't properly eulogized. V'al Nara Amurasa Shetzaka Bir Ve'ein Moshi Allah. And a betrothed maiden, this is a girl that has been entered a state of matrimony, and she is attacked by a rapist, that she calls out for help and no one helps her. V'al Mishkav Zohor, and for the practice of homosexuality, of male same-sex intimacy, that's Mishkav Zohor. And fourth, V'al Shnei Achim Shnishbach Domon Ke'echod, and a case of two brothers that are murdered together. So those are four reasons for the son to be afflicted. U'bishul Arba Dvorim Oros Lokin, and for four reasons, heavenly light bodies are afflicted. Al Kisve Plaster, those who write lies. Plaster is a lie. Rashi says, Shtoros Mezuyofen, forged documents, is Kosve Plaster. Continuing in the Gemara, Ve'al Na'ide Edus Sheker, and for those that testify falsely. At third, Ve'al Megadli Be'im Adaki Be'eretz Yisrael, those who raise small animals, small cattle, in the meaning sheep and goats, when who raise them and shepherd them in the land of Israel. And the reason for that is explained more extensively elsewhere, but they have a tendency to wander into other people's fields and eat from that which is growing, and that, of course, is theft. The al fourth is Val Kutzitze Ilonas Tovos, for cutting trees that bear fruit. And Rashi explains three lines from the bottom, V'afilu hein shelahem, even if you are the owner of that tree, shemashchisen hein, that are being destroyed or cut down, v'nirin kiboyatim b'agosh baruch hu v'b'chosu shemashpil tuvo. One who cuts down a fruit-bearing tree, it looks like he is literally boatim is kicking the good that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Almighty bestowed upon you. It's a slap in the face, so to speak. Here, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you a bounty, benefit, a gift, and you are cutting it down. So that's a reason for Ma'oros Loiken. Another list, Ubishvil Arba Dvorim, Nichse Bali Batim, Nimsorin Lumachusen. As a result of four wrongdoings, people's property are confiscated by the government. One, Amashe Shtoros Pruim, people who received payment of debts owed to them, and yet they keep the original bill of collection, the contractor bill of collection, they keep intact instead of tearing it up. And the problem with that is that would enable him to collect a second time, being that he has what appears to be an unpaid document, when in fact it's already been paid. Vial malve beribis, those who loan with interest-bearing loans. Continuing at the top of Omer Beis, number three, Vial shehoya sipeg biyodu limchais v'lomichu, people who had the ability to chastise their surroundings, their community, and didn't do so. And this is the case when you have in certain communities, you have leading members of the community, leading in the sense of they're wealthy people that have power and influence, and they would be listened to. So if they remain silent when there is reason for admonishing or chastising the surroundings, and they remain silent, so they lose their property. V'al shepoisin stoka barabim v'einon noisim, and for people that make pledges of charity in public, and they don't actually pay up. Omar Rav. B'shvil arba dvorim nichse balei batim yotzin l'timyon. As a result of four wrongdoings, the people's properties are will timyon is something that disintegrates on its own. Will just disintegrate, dissipate, and become a loss. Four wrongdoings. Number one, the al koyshe schar sochir. People who have those employed for them, working for them, and they tell their workers, listen, I don't have money to pay you today, come back tomorrow, and the same thing repeats again and again, always pushing people, the employees, off. Number two, v'al oishke schar socher. This is a case where someone simply doesn't pay. He withholds, completely withholds their wages. And number three, v'al sheporkin oil me'al tzavarein v'noisim al chavarein. People that remove the yoke from upon themselves and place it upon others, which would be cases of people that have certain obligations and they pass the obligations on to others. V'al gasus haruach, and for haughtiness. V'gasus haruach keneged kulan, and this attribute is the worst. Avol ba'anovim ksiv, but regarding those who are of humble spirit, the pasuk says ba'anovim yishu oretz is angu aroiv shalom. The humble will inherit the land and enjoy a life of peace. So that the perek, we wanted to end off on a positive note. So here you see that the positive note being the focus on the humble and the great reward that they can expect. We now continue with the third perek of Maseches Sukkah, and the topic heading that we've assigned to this Mishnah is Dine Lulav. Very simply, laws regarding the Lulav. We should point out, and Rashi makes a point of this, that the next couple of Mishnayos, this one dealing with Lulav, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis and Beis deals with the Hadas, and on Lamed Gimel Beis, it deals with the Arova. They all have very similar openings, each one of these Mishnayos, but they're taught separately. Lulav HaGozel VaYovesh Posel, a stolen Lulav, or a dried out Lulav, is unfit for the mitzvah. The Torah says regarding this mitzvah, Ulekachtem Lochem B'Yoyim HaRishon, Priyetz Hador, Kapos Tumam, etc. The Pasuk says, you shall take for yourselves. And when the term Lochem means Mishel Lochem, your own. Yovesh is, so that's why Gozel, it's not your own. Yovesh, dried out, has a separate problem, and that's because it's lacking niceness, pleasantry to it. There's a concept known as hiddur mitzvah, mitzvah that's done in a glorified, beautiful fashion. and a lulav that's dried out is certainly lacking in that. Other elements, other points. Shelashera, a lulav that is cut from a tree that was used in idol worship, a worshipped tree. Shelir hanidachas, lulav from a city where the community engaged in idolatry, and the Torah law regarding an ir hanidachas is that all of its wares, its contents, its portables are to be burnt. So a lulav that comes from an ir hanidachas is posel. And the reason for that is that a lulav has to have a certain shiur, a certain size to it. In fact, we will learn it has to have four tfachim. If it is destined to be burnt, it's viewed already as if it's already burnt, and thereby having no, not having any size to it. Niktam roshoi, if the top of the lulav is chopped off, nifritsu olav, if the leaves of the lulav leaves are essentially the those strips that are attached to the spine. So nifritsu, if they've become detached from the shedra, the spine of the lulav pasul, the lulav is unfit. Nifridu olav kosher, if the base of each lulav leaf is attached to the lulav itself, but it's fanning out, it's okay, it's kosher. Rav Yehuda omer yagdenu mi lamala. Rav Yehuda says that in the case of nifridu olav, where the leaves are starting to get fanning out, separating from above, tie them together from above. Sinehar habarzel ksheros. Sinehar barzel is a type of lulav, and they're kosher. That type of lulav called sinehar barzel is kosher, even though their leaves are not very long, unlike the common lulav where the top of a lower level of leaf reaches above the base of it, of the upper level. Not so in the case of the sinehar barzel. Lulav sheyesh bo shloisha tfachim kidei linanea bo kosher, a lulav that measures three tfachim and an additional tefach for holding and for shaking purposes, that is the minimum acceptable size, and that would be kosher. The Gemara kaposik vitoni. The Mishnah teaches that lulav hagozel vayovesh is unfit in an unqualified fashion. Lo shno b'yom tov rishon v'lo shno b'yom tov sheni, making no distinction between the very first day of Sukkot, where the obligation is a Torah level obligation. The pasuk, we referred to this earlier, the pasuk says ulekachtem lochem b'yoyim horishon creates hadar, etc. The mitzvah of taking of the lulav is from the Torah standpoint, if you're outside the Beis Hamikdash, its requirement is only one day. Everyone knows that we take the lulav all 7 days. We make a broch on it. We shake it all 7 days. That those additional 6 days are rabbinic, which we say is Zecher LeBeis HaMikdash. It's a way of commemorating that which they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash had a different standard that applied, and it had the taking of lulav every day from Midoraisa. Our Mishnah, then, which is obviously not referring to the Beis HaMikdash, it says that the lulav HaGozel LeYavish is puzzle not only on the first day, but it seems to be on the second day of Yom Tov as well. And the second day of Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan. Bishlamo Yavesh Hodor Bo'inan. I understand the problem of Yavesh on the second day, because we require the Lulav to be nice. And even though it's the Rabbanan, but we're commemorating that which took place in the Beis HaMikdash, and for that we need it to be hodar, to be nice, to be pleasant, as opposed to dried out. Elo gozel, however, stolen. What's the problem with a stolen lulav? Well, bishlamo yom tov rishon, I understand the problem of using a stolen lulav on the first day of yom tov. Tichtiv lochem, the pasuk says lukachtem lochem b'yom rishon mishel lochem. It must be something you own, your own lulav. And the Torah says specifically that Yom Rishon, the first day, is the only time that we have this requirement of it being your own. So the concept of Lochem is something restricted to the first day and the first day only. Just to repeat ourselves, not so with the case of Hodar. Hodar, pleasant, nice looking, is something that has relevance to all 7 days. But the idea of you're owning it, that has relevance only to the first day. Ela b'yom tov sheni amai lo? But on the second day of Yom Tov, what would be the problem of using a stolen lulav? Before we go any further, on the side of the Gemara, we have the Nosei Mivneh heading, where we have triangles featured in two directions, and they are Shnei Deos Belulav HaGozel B'Yom Tov Sheni. We will see two approaches to using a stolen lulav on the second day of Yom Tov, namely, not the first day. Our note continues, Hasugya Dono Belulav HaGozel B'Yom Tov Sheni. The Gemara is focusing on this issue of the stolen lulav, and it brings opposing opinions, and we indicate losim lev lekivun hamashulashim, to look, pay attention to the directions of the triangles, with the triangle point facing up. Lo yotze, he won't be yotze with a stolen lulav on the second day to have a mitzvah bo bavera. It's a mitzvah, but the only way you're mekayim the mitzvah is by having transgressed the sin of stealing. So a mitzvah bo bavera is not considered a mitzvah. So if the only way to accomplish the mitzvah is, or we'll say the mitzvah is exclusively dependent on the theft, so it's not a mitzvah. So that's the reason why the Mishnah is telling me that a lulav hagozel is posel on the subsequent days of Yom Tov as well. There's a different approach altogether. The inverted triangle, mitoch shiyotze b'shol yotze b'gozel. This inverted triangle will tell me that on the second day of Yom Tov, you can fulfill the mitzvah with a borrowed lulav. And since you can fulfill it with a non-personally owned lulav, i.e. a borrowed, it's someone else's lulav, so too, a stolen lulav, you can fulfill the mitzvah. Again, it's not a nice thing to do, you're not supposed to steal, but if you did, that doesn't interfere with the mitzvah per se. So, as we said, as we go through the Gemara, you'll see two opposing approaches. And once again, note the direction of the triangle as we go on in the Gemara. We'll also see a double underline, and that represents or highlights Shnei Meimros Shemevi Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The name Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is double underlined, and it happens to be in each case Rabbi Yochanan is presenting his shita or his statement. Number one, Mitzvah Bo Bavera. The first one deals with a mitzvah whose fulfillment is dependent solely on the act of stealing, of theft. And number two, Moshol Lahasbir Lama Korban Gzula Psula. Shin Baruch Hu will give us an analogy as to appreciate why a stolen korban is unfit. A korban is a sacrifice. If a person steals an animal and offers it to God, it's not acceptable. And the point there is that God basically owns everything. Everything, Lashem Oratzum Loa, everything belongs to the Ribbono Shelolam. So one might have thought, what would be wrong if I steal an animal and offer it as a sacrifice to God? I'm basically giving to God that which is His. So in order to explain why that's unacceptable, Rav Shmuel will give us an analogy. So we can turn back to the Gemara with the basic question of why is a stolen lulav not acceptable on the second day of Sukkot, when the taking of the lulav on the second day is the Rabbanon, and it seems from the Torah that the need for you to be the sole owner, to be the exclusive owner of it, applies only to the first day of Yom Tov. But the second day of Yom Tov, that requirement isn't there. Omar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi. Rav Yochanan quotes Rav Shimon ben Yochoi, continuing at the top of Daf Lamed, Mishum Dahavi Le Mitzvah Bo Bavira. Stealing lulav and then using it on the second day of Yom Tov to fulfill the rabbinic mitzvah of taking a lulav is a mitzvah that is dependent on the sin of having stolen. And that renders it a non-mitzvah. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, and more quotes a Pasuk that shows us this idea. It says, Vehei Vesem Gozel Ves Hapiseyach. Gozel means an animal that's stolen. Piseach is a lame, a limping animal. Ves Achoyla, a sickly animal. And the Pasuk goes on to say, Ha'ertse Oysa Miyadchem Omar Hashem. Will I find it pleasing? Will I accept that from you? And in this pasuk, we see different shortcomings. We see a stolen animal. We see a lame animal. Gozel, dumyo de pisach. We are to compare stolen to lame. Ma pisach les leitakato. Just like a lame animal has no repairing, there's no fixing. It's a permanent. It happens to be a blemish. And as such, it's a permanent blemish. It's unacceptable as a sacrifice, because the Torah dictates that only unblemished animals are suitable to be offered as sacrifices. Af gozel les le takanto. So too, when it comes to theft, it's compared to the lame animal. There is no solution to an item that is stolen and then used as a mitzvah. Lo shna lefnei yeush, velo shna liachar yeush. No distinction being made whether the mitzvah is performed with the lulav before the owner gives up hope on it, nor where the owner has already given up hope on ever getting it back. And the understanding right now is that even after the owner gives up hope and you become the owner of it, through the owner's let's say resignation to its loss, the thief is then said to be the owner of it. So Gemara continues explaining this point. Bishlamo lefnei yeush. I understand before the owner relinquishes hope of getting it back. Adam kiyakriv mikem omar rachmana v'lav didei hu. With respect to offering sacrifices, the Torah says a person, when he brings his own mikem, from your own animals, and a stolen animal before the original owner ever gives up hope on it, well, it's not yours, it doesn't belong to the thief. So that I understand, it's not yours, so you're not conforming to the Torah requirement of Adam Kiakriv Mikem. El Ali Achar Yeush. However, after the owner has given up hope of ever getting it back, well, Hokanya B'Yeush, you the thief are said to be the owner. You become the official owner of it. And what that would mean in practical terms, even though the thief has to pay back the theft, he'll pay back money equivalent. He doesn't have to give back the original item. The original item is said to belong now to the theft, to the thief. So it is his. After Yeush, it would be his. So why is the korban unacceptable? We saw before the analogy between something stolen to something that's lame. Just like when something is lame and has no hope, so too something that's stolen has no hope. No distinction between before Yeush versus after Yeush. But why after Yeush is the korban not good? Is it? It's at that point after Yeush, the thief is said to be the owner of it. Elolav, rather, we must say Mishnavei Le Mitzvah Bo Bavero. It's a mitzvah, namely bringing of the sacrifice, but it's dependent solely on the fact that you did the action of stealing. No other element is necessary other than the owner giving up hope. And as a result, since the entire mitzvah is dependent solely on the act of the theft, so it's not considered a mitzvah. And same similarly with the lulav that's stolen. It's a mitzvah, habo avaver. It's a mitzvah who comes to be as a result of the sin. Exclusively of the theft. The Omer of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. My dechtiv, what is meant by the following? Ki ani Hashem oyev mishpot, sone gezel ba'oilo. So I am the Almighty that likes justice, and I hate thievery with regard to Ola sacrifices. We have a long marking on the side. One is Moshal, the analogy, and Nimshal, what is the lesson to be learned. Moshal, the Melech Bosov Adam, She'oiver Al-Bei Sameches. Imagine a king who is passing through the, we'll say, the toll booth. Bei Sameches is a place where taxes are collected. Omar Lavolov, the king, who ultimately is the receiver of all these taxes. And the king is passing through. He says to his avodah, he says to his servants, Tnu meches lemochsim, pay the tax collectors the taxes. Omrulo, the servants turn to the king and said, Valo kol ameches kulo shelchohu. But all the taxes are yours anyway. Why should you have to pay? It's like taking from your right pocket, putting into your left pocket. Omar lohem, mimeni yilmedu kol oivrei drachim. From my behavior, all other travelers will learn, and they won't try to evade paying the tax, the toll. So when everyone sees that even the king is paying the toll, everyone will pay the toll. Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu Omar. So here's the lesson to be learned from this. Here, so too the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ani Hashem. Soni gezel ba'olah. Mimeni yilmedu b'nei bonai v'yavrichu atzmon min hagezel. They'll learn from me. I am not going to accept a korban ola. And by the way, a korban ola is a sacrifice that goes entirely to Hashem. It's completely burnt on the mizbeach. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, even though it's completely mine, and from the very beginning it was mine, I'm not accepting it. So one will learn. Everyone else will learn that something that is stolen is unacceptable. Itmar Nami. Now Rashi points out Nami, the Itmar Nami, the Taimo de Masnisin beGozel the Yom Tov Sheni Mishum Mitzvah Bo Bavira. Rashi says that this Itmar Nami is a second Rav that substantiates the opinion that we've already seen. So the triangle facing upwards is just points out that Rav Ami, he represents Mitzvah HaBor Bavero. Yovesh Posel Mishum She'en Hodar. The dried out lulav is no good because it's not nice, it's not pleasant. And Gozel Posel Mishum Dehavei Le Mitzvah HaBor Bavero. And the stolen lulav is no good because it's a mitzvah that is accomplished as a sole result of the theft. And we showed already, we demonstrated already that is not acceptable. Upli God, Rabbi Yitzchok, and this approach is at odds with Rabbi Yitzchok. Yom Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni, Omar Shmuel, Lo Shanu, Elo Biyontov Rishon, Lo Shanu, that which the Mishnah teaches, that Gozel is possible, that stolen lulav is unfit, that's only on the first day of Sukkot. Avo B'Yom Tov Sheni, on the second day of Sukkot, mitoch shiyotze b'shol, since he can fulfill the mitzvah with a borrowed lulav. As we said before, the pasuk says lekachtem lochem b'yom rishon. Only on the first day it has to be yours. On the next day you can use a borrowed lulav. So since you can use a lulav that's not yours on the second day, yotzinami begozel, you can fulfill the mitzvah through a stolen lulav as well. We are, of course, in the context of the Daf Yomi Shiur, so, and you can see we've spilled over our Daf Yomi quota for this particular Shiur quite a bit. The Gemara, from this point on, will ask on Rabbi Yitzchak. But before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.